Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Ask a PI Talk Radio with hosts David Duchesneau, author, PI, former Marine, and former New Hampshire State Trooper, and Rusty McDonald, PI, author, motivational speaker, and international radio talk show host.
Monday, and welcome to Ask a PI. You're listening to Rusty, that's me, and David. He'll be on in just a second. I'm getting ready to unmute him. And it's Monday, February, 14th, 15th. Today is the 16th. Can you believe that, David? Happy Valentine's Day, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day, Rusty. I'm doing well, thank you. And I want to welcome everybody to the show tonight on this cold Monday evening.
Lord, we actually, our kitchen, my kitchen pipes are frozen.
I believe
it. It's that cold. It's -7 degrees wind chill factor right now, and I'm sitting here going, okay, so I'm going into the shower to fill up a pan so that I can do my dishes. This is ridiculous. Jeez. I'm really hoping I don't get woken up at like 2 o'clock in the morning with some sort of pipe bursting, you know. We've been heating at the wall. But it's Snowmageddon, and I'm leaving for Florida on Thursday because I have that event that I'm speaking at in Boca Raton, and somebody texted me today, and they're like, you better not pack too quickly because there's just another snowstorm coming, and I'm going to bed and hit Wednesday. The roads better be clear, or I'm putting skis on my car because I'm in Boca.
you're going to make it. Don't even worry about it.
I'm going to make it. I'm out of here. I don't care if I'm walking.
I don't blame you. Believe me.
Lord, it's been cold. So I have to give you some exciting news. I don't know if you heard. I know that you've been a little out of the loop, and we haven't talked really at all this week. But both of my first two books have been launched, and they're at Laurel Mays Cottage. And I have one for you special. Yeah, I'm really excited. We had the Women of Wisdom launch last week. You knew about that one, but Saturday for Valentine's Day, the Tainted Eloquence, You Were Beautiful, launched on Saturday, and that was really, really exciting. So,
good for you. I'm proud of you, Rusty. It's good.
I'm so excited, and all this hard work is really coming into fruition, and I was asked today to speak at a large conference that I hope that you can make it to.
Very good.
About 2 hours north in regards to what it's like to be living in poverty. So that's really exciting. I was asked to be a keynote speaker for that. I'm like, yay, that's great. That was this morning. Lots of good stuff happening, David.
That's very good, Rusty. Like I said, I'm proud of you, and it's well-deserved, believe me. I know how hard you work.
Thank you. Now, what's new with you? Tell us about your books.
Well, things are going the same as they always have been. You know, the sale of uniforms is going well. As a matter of fact, I'm sending some books out tomorrow that people have ordered. One's going to Hawaii, and believe it or not, one is going to Bangladesh. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's getting around, but... it's unbelievable. I'm kind of excited about that. And
you'll have
and
to give
it,
me a couple autographed ones before I leave for Boca, because I'm speaking in Boca Raton at a gluten-free awareness event, as well as selling my books. And it would be nice to have a couple of yours there to sell.
I'd be happy to do so. It would be my pleasure.
Yay. All right. So I'm really excited about tonight's topic. You're going to share with us things that PI should avoid, as in mistakes, as in the don'ts, as in never do, which is really cool because what you're offering is priceless information to avoid pitfalls for private investigators in the future. And I cannot believe you're doing this for free. I mean, this is millions of dollars of information that you're getting ready to divulge just to help people. So good for you. Thank you.
Well, you know, the biggest thing about this, profession is that, you know, the profession has treated me good over the years. It really has. And, you know, I like to give back. I really do. And I try to give back as much as I can. And, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for so long now. I don't know everything. I think once somebody thinks they know everything, it's time to shut down. Because every day you should learn something. And if you think you know everything, it's time that you close shop. Just close it up. But anyway, we're humans. And we're bound to make mistakes in the profession that we choose to go into. And it's the same thing here as private investigators. We will make mistakes if we're not careful. And there's plenty of things that you want to make sure that you do not do, and you want to, you know, keep yourself very diligent, and you want to stay on top of what's going on. That's why I chose this topic for tonight. You know, it's private investigators' mistakes you don't want to make. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear this, especially those in this profession, and I'm sure they don't, because there are going to be some things that I'm going to talk about that people don't want to divulge to the public, but that's okay. You know, the bottom line, okay, we're private investigators, and right at the top, we are private citizens. Just because we're private investigators, we are a private citizen. And we're bound by the same laws everybody else is. You know, a PI license doesn't grant us special privileges, and it doesn't shield us from legal consequences, especially in criminal and or civil litigations. Breaking the law can result in the loss of your license, the loss of your business, the loss of your reputation, which is a biggie. It exposes you and your clients to lawsuits and produces evidence that is inadmissible in court. And, of course, none of that is good, if the word gets around that you are not doing your job, because as you know, most of my referrals come from word of mouth, and to me, that's the best advertisement that you can get. That being said, some people think that there are different laws for investigators than not. You know, we're not the police. We're not going to be acting like the police. We're not going to pretend we're the police, and they do their job, we do ours. And there's a lot of things that a private investigator just should not do. Different states have different laws that regulate our profession. And you got to be responsible enough to learn what those laws are and how they apply to you and your location. And it sounds exciting, you know, to take some of these actions to simplify your job and to be a private investigator. But, you know, if it's not ethical and if it's not right, and we talked about this before, just don't do it. So what are the common things that private investigator? Well, one of them, you know, traffic violations. You know, when we do surveillance. You know, just because you're on surveillance doesn't mean that you can break the law, go through a red light, you can speed, you can do all of that. And don't get me wrong, have we done it? Yes. Yes, we have. Because we don't want to lose the target for whatever reason. I tell my people that if they're on surveillance and if they lose that person, you know, it's not the end of the world. You know, just pack up, you know, go back to the office, go back home, go back to wherever, because tomorrow is another day, and just start the day over again and see if you can follow that person without, you know, losing them because you got caught up in a traffic, in the traffic, or at a traffic light or anything else. Just remember, you don't have to drive recklessly and carelessly. And, you know, no matter how great it looks and exciting in the movies, we're not movie makers. We're not in the movies. This is real life. And so you don't want to put anybody in jeopardy by breaking any of the traffic laws when you're out there doing surveillance. Trespassing, I talked about this I don't know how many times. We never trespass to get information on anybody, and that includes surveillance. You cannot go on the person's property or another person's property to get evidence of what somebody may be doing, especially if somebody's on workman's comp. They have, you know, we've had people call in to insurance companies, and they've given tips that they know their neighbor is on workman's comp, and they just feel that it isn't right that they're collecting this money because these people are indeed active. And they have given us permission to use their property to gather any information, you know, as to that person who was on comp, you know, any evidence that we can get. And there's nothing wrong with that. In that case, it's okay if you go on that person's property because they've given you permission to do so. But do not, and I repeat, do not go on the target's property, because any evidence that you do get of them being active will be no good when you go to a labor hearing. I can guarantee you that the opposing counsel for that claimant, if they know that you obtained that evidence by breaking the law yourself, by trespassing on the person's property, all your evidence is going to be inadmissible. And so you don't want to trespass. You don't want to do any of that at all. And that includes any photographs, any videotape, or anything that you have taken while you've broken the law. It's all gone. And I don't care how good it is. You know, the Labor Department's going to tell you they can't see it. It's just not admissible, you know, at the hearing. So therefore, stay away from trespassing. Just do not do it. And do some people do it? Yes, they do. And it's, you know, we're not there when people gather information or evidence. You know, we're bound by standards. We're bound by ethics, and we're bound by our own, you know, truthfulness. And so you want to make sure that everything you do ethically, and you proud and make yourself proud of what you are in your profession. And your profession is one of a private investigator, and it is a good profession. It can make you a good living. And you don't need to break laws to get any evidence at all. Roping or entrapment. I've always said you don't and you can't make people do what they don't normally do. So, you know, you don't pretext, which is roping, you know, because it's an illegal action. You may not get information from another by legal descriptions. In other words, no pretexting should be done to gain activity or to gain someone's confidence. This can result in a sizable civil lawsuit, and you don't want to get involved in that. This definition includes impersonating a police officer, and that goes under pretexting. First off, if you impersonate a police officer, you have just broken the law because you're not a police officer. So don't say you are one. I mean, do I stop in the police stations? Yes. Town that I go into, I go in, and we've done the show on this. I go in and I tell them who I am, what I'm doing, where I'm going to be. And sure, do we get into small talk and stuff like that? Depends on who I'm talking to at the police department. And if it's a police officer or if it's somebody who recognized me from when I was a police officer or they recognize my name, and they, so a lot of them have asked, aren't you the retired trooper? And I've said yes. You know, so we get into, you know, small conversation, you know, about what happened when I was a police officer, but a trooper. But I don't ever tell anybody that I am currently a police officer because I am not. I'm a private citizen. Invasion of privacy. That's a good one. Privacy is the condition and state of being free from public attention to intrusion or interference with one's act or decision. Now, that comes right from the Black's Law Dictionary. So, you know, that's what privacy is. However, surveillance in a public place is not considered invasion of privacy. And a public place, if somebody thinks they have the right to privacy, then you don't have that right to gather any information. And this generally includes bathrooms, locker rooms, changing rooms, bedrooms, and other assumed areas which are considered private. In other words, you're not going to start taking video of anybody through their windows. That's an invasion of privacy. And so you don't want to get involved in that. Stalking. We had a show on stalking. And, you know, and we talked quite a bit about stalking. And stalking is defined as unwanted attention to a person by an individual or a group of individuals. Each state has their own different laws, and you want to make sure you know what your state law is. Stalking is related to harassment and intimidation. And it's also, you know, putting the fear into that person that you're watching. Well, that is definitely out. You don't do it. Cannot be considered surveillance at all, which may only be covert. That's what surveillance can be. No rough shadowing. And when I say rough shadowing, is that means that when you don't care if the individual sees you or they don't see you. And that is stalking. And you don't want to get involved in it. Wiretapping without a consent. I don't know why anybody would want to do this. But you better find out what your state laws are concerned wiretapping. And New Hampshire is a two-party consent state, so obviously the person you think that you're getting information from by eavesdropping on their conversation or wiretapping by utilizing a device to catch their verbal communication, well, again, that's illegal. You can't do it. Recording a conversation. Again, you can't do it. There's no way that you can get around it. You don't want to get involved in it. If you do, you're breaking the law. And again, all these things that I'm saying, do some people do it? Yes, they do. And the reason why they do, because they want to make that old mighty buck. But it's whatever you're getting, if the word gets out that you're getting it through unethical and illegal manners, it's not going to take long that your business is going to go right down, and nobody's going to be calling you, and except probably law enforcement, and you'll probably be in trouble, and you're going to have to answer for your consequences. Obtaining information that is private and protected by state and federal statutes. You may locate it, but you may not look at it. And I know that's, you know, a double-sword statement, but it's true. And that is banking and financial records, mail tampering. You never tamper with anybody's mail. Phone records, you can't get those. Credit information, you can't get that. License plate information, it's against the law in the state of New Hampshire unless you have a legal reason to get someone's license plate and who it belongs to. Criminal records, you can get these from your counties and your courts, your district courts throughout the state, but you can't get them like I was able to get them when I was in the state police, where we utilize, you know, the NCIC, which is the National Crime Information Center. The only one that can use that is law enforcement agencies. I get knowing the location may be enough, though, to provide leverage for negotiations and to obtain a search warrant, a subpoena, and a discovery motion. And you do that through an attorney. And that's why I like working with attorneys, because if I know that there's certain information that could be relevant to a case that I'm working on, I can call the attorney and say, you know, I think that we ought to subpoena these records. And if they want it bad enough, they will subpoena those records. And if they want us to go through those records after they're subpoenaed and they do get them legally, then we will do that, and we can match them up with anything that needs to be matched up on whatever case we're working on. You know, and when we're while we're talking about this, you know, the bottom line, you may not break the law on behalf of your client or for investigational purposes. Everything must be above board in order for legal action to stick. And that's the bottom line of everything I just mentioned right here. And now I'm going to... Mistakes to avoid when choosing a private investigator. Now, you know, a lot of people, and we talked about how to hire a private investigator and what you do, and you know, a lot of people just don't know what to do. And the first thing, you know, is when I get a new client on the phone, I usually get, I've never done this before. Well, people don't often know what to expect when they look for a private investigator. That's why I've developed a series here of, it's a checklist of mistakes to avoid in order to protect you. And I talk about you being the public in your search for a private investigator. And mistake number one that you don't want to make is choosing a private investigator based on a single telephone call. The best way, I always said, to choose a private investigator is ask somebody who's used one, and word of mouth is the best advertisement a private investigator can have. Make sure that your investigator is successful enough to have an office and a staff and is not running a business out of Starbucks or McDonald's. Now, that's common sense. You know, do you want to meet the investigator in person? That's entirely up to you. And I meet a lot of my clients, and a lot of my clients I've never laid eyes on. A lot of people know who I am, and especially the attorneys that I work for, because I work for attorneys all over the place. I mean, not only this state, Massachusetts, all over New England. And a lot of them I have never met, but they know who I am through my reputation. And so when they ask me to do something, It's because somebody told them that they can call me because I can get that job done for them. So, you know, it's in, but if you're a private person, you should meet with that private investigator and be comfortable with them. Mistake number two, not making sure that the PI you call is not subcontracting the work out. You know, there are, we talked about this one too. There are several national investigative companies out there, and all they do is they farm everything they have out. They're a marketing machine. They get the case from you, and then they go and they find a cheap investigator locally to your situation. In most cases, these local subcontractor investigators have to work for very low fees because their level of service and success is not good enough to keep them in business as a reputable rate. In other words, they don't get enough work. So, you know, when you're calling, make sure you're calling a firm that is local. If you feel like going on the internet and finding a national firm, well, then, you know, you might be stuck with something that you really don't want. Choose a private investigator based on low prices. That's a mistake number three. You know, the bottom line is, remember, you get what you pay for. Just because somebody charges low prices doesn't mean that they're any good. And, in fact, you do get what you pay for. In most cases, a good, reputable private investigator will cost you several hundreds of dollars, if not thousands, depending on the case. But one thing for sure, you're going to get what you're looking for. He's going to get the job done, he or she, and you're not going to have any problems down the road with your case or whatever that you want this person, this investigator, to locate for you. Mistake number five is failing to independently verify the investigator's background. Again, that goes hand in hand, a word-of-mouth referral. And if you want to double-check if somebody's really good, you know, ask an attorney and ask the police department, because they know who's out here doing the work. Especially the guys that are out here and they check in with the police departments when they're out here working these cases. If you choose another mistake that you don't want to make is you want to make sure that your investigator is going to offer you a money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. I do that. I have it on my website that we offer your money back. And I can tell you, have I had clients that were not satisfied with my work product? Yes, I have. Over the years, I've had that. And because you can't please everybody. And I simply tell them, if you're not happy with what I've done and what I've located for you, then please do not pay anything for the information that I provided you. And in most cases, they will pay, or they'll make a settlement of payment. Maybe it's not what you charge, but at least it will cover your expenses. But make sure that whoever you hire does give you a money-back guarantee.
Now we're at the 30-minute mark, David.
What do you want to do?
I know you're going into the next. We've got some individuals who helped send out more postcards about our show so we have more listeners. Isn't that exciting? We have sponsors. And I want to thank everyone who sponsors our show and everybody who listens to our show, because David and I are really passionate. I know you can hear it in David's voice. I am kind of the silent partner in this. A great service that David is offering, and I know a lot of you listen to us, and I know that where I work during the day, you come in and you give us a lot of support. So thank you so much for supporting Ask a PI. And definitely email David at david@standa.com to offer, you know, your commercial break, because David's out of Rochester, New Hampshire. He is born and bred here, and I think he would love more Rochester businesses to advertise for. So definitely email him and talk to him about advertisement opportunities. We are running a special for the first quarter of 2015, which is $50 per show. If you were to actually contact other radio stations, you would be looking at $400 or $500 per show. And this is a great opportunity for you to, you know, support your local vet and PI and trooper and great author, David, as well as continue our show, because it is a passion and we're really grateful to be able to do this. So I'm going to go out and give a shout out to our sponsors.
Are you a business owner searching for a better platform? We developed a website where you can push it for. Our site is AdVit, and we fully committed to ensure our members' traffic, which I'm sure you will get. You can market your product here with a bunch of deals ranging from home, good, electrics. Take a look, if you will. Join AdVit today, and your life will change. And the best part is free, and they'll always remain.
In a world where businesses are plagued by overwhelming numbers of difficulties, one support network will rise to protect business owners from devastation. Dreams Woven Support Network. Under the guidance of the experts at Dreams Woven, business owners will be able to stay focused and stay motivated as they work their way toward their dreams. To run a business is to fight in a battle against a fleet of hardships that threatens to bring the business toward failure. To win that battle, one must have the adequate resources and a plan to combat the seemingly endless barrage of hardships. With the power of the Dreams Woven Support Network, obtaining the resources and plan for the battle of business is simple by using the multitude of tips and resources provided by Dreams Woven. One will be able to vanquish any hardships that arise and bring one's business to success. $8.97 is all it takes to acquire the power of Dreams Woven. Sign up today at DreamsWovenSupportNetwork.org to achieve success for your business and to have your dream woven into reality.
January 2015. In Pride and Prejudice, A Relocation Nightmare is based on a mother's true story of her attempts to relocate home to her family after a messy divorce, only to be discriminated against and forced to live without her support. Order your copy today. www.rustymcdonald.com.
Are you an individual or company looking for
the best place to list and promote your products? Waste not a minute longer. AdVit.com provides the best platform to help you sell and promote your product.
I uploaded the wrong one. We have a new sponsor today, and I uploaded the wrong one. I am so sorry, everyone. I will fix that for next week while I'm sticking my toes in the Boca Raton sand. I'm so excited. I can't wait to be in
Don't
a sundress.
Don't rub it in, Rusty.
I'm telling you, I'm excited. It's supposed to be 75 degrees all next week with rain, but I will take the rain over this stuff. We have 15 feet snowbanks. There is no place to put the snow. None. I'm going
well,
crazy here.
More is coming.
Yeah, watch your mouth. Stop swearing on the air. You're grounded. Go to your room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. More's coming, and I'm just like, please come on Wednesday. Don't come on Thursday, because we're out of here on Thursday. I don't care. I'm done. I need my sandals. I need my toes to breathe. I'm done with the scarves and all that.
Well, just make sure you say goodbye.
You you know, well, hopefully, because I need to grab a couple of your books before I leave. So let's try to make that happen. It's been crazy busy. But tell us where we can actually find your books. Give us like 30 seconds of your book information. Let's get back to the show because this is a great opportunity as we have new listeners for you to shamelessly plug yourself. And I love uniforms, and I cannot wait for the part two of uniforms. So go.
There's a lot of people waiting for part two. Believe me, I get emails all the time. Well, the book is called Uniforms, and it's about growing up in the 50s and 60s. It's about the baby boomers and what it was like back then. And it's about also what happens when I joined the United States Marine Corps. I was in a drum and bugle corps as a teenager. I wrote about how it was to be in a drum and bugle corps. And a drum and bugle corps is not a band. It's just what it says, drums and bugles. And we traveled all over New England and Canada, and we even paraded for John F. Kennedy's inauguration, which was quite a thrill. And then once I joined the Marine Corps, it tells about going through boot camp at Parris Island and what that's like, was like, and then how I served two tours of duty in Vietnam in 1969 and 1970. And then it tells about what happened when I came back home. And how I was treated once I got back home. And, you know, uniform captures the mood of an era. It's the history of the war, of the Vietnam War, through the eyes of a Marine combat veteran who was me. And it is a very good read. And you can find it on Amazon. You can find it at Barnes & Noble. You can find it on a website, the book's website, which is www.uniformsthebook.com, or you can get the book, a personalized copy, a signed copy of the book from me, by emailing me at danda.com. And if you do that, I'd be honored to sign a copy and send it out to you. So that's basically what the book is about. And if you want to know more what the book is about, please go on the book's website, like I said, www.uniformsthebook.com. It explains it really good, and it tells all about what it is. There's excerpts from the book, and it tells also about me and what I've done and what I'm doing now. Now, getting back to the show.
Let's get into – yep. Let's get back to where you were.
I'm going to get through these real quickly because, I can see we got only about 21 minutes remaining here, 20 minutes remaining. So, you know, another mistake that people do is you want to hire an investigator you can trust. And so, you know, without trust, there's nothing. So you want to be able to relate to that person. And so that's very important. And choosing a private investigator who's pushy and makes promises – or just seems desperate for your business, you want to stay away from that person because there's no need for you to get involved with anybody like that at all. And, you know, if you need to hire a private investigator, there's all kinds of things an investigator can do for you. And I'm going to go through these very quickly because there are a lot of them. They can give you a current address, a historical address, a date of birth. They can give you any aliases, social security number. We can verify that. We can locate birth records, death records, marriage records, divorce filings. We used to be able to go through, you know, dumpster diving, people's trash, but that has since gone in the state of New Hampshire. We can't do that without a warrant. We can locate beneficiaries for probate proceedings. I've done a lot of that. I still do that. Research current and historical property holdings. Identify mortgage information, security lenders, related party property transactions. determine current market values of real property, locating bankruptcy filings, retrieve, analyze bankruptcy records, uncover improper relationships, that's domestic stuff, locate federal criminal records, and we do that through the federal system. And just to let people know, I do have a, not a contract, if you will, but I do have an account, thank you, with the feds to get that kind of information, which I do have federal, criminal, civil, and all types of other litigation information, and I get that right online. We can retrieve mugshots from arrests if you need that. We can provide independent analysis of anything that you need, locate state and local criminal records where they are through the counties, and we can review those for you. We can provide you with a peace of mind in whatever you're looking for. Locate home phone numbers, cell phone numbers, and we do this legally. Identify owners of homes and cell phone numbers, ownership of corporations, corporate records. We can give you the executives and who's on the board of directors. We can retrieve judgments and lien filings. Family history, we can give you a family history if you need it. They say connect the dots. Yeah, we can connect the dots of the family. That's the same thing. Locate witnesses for civil and criminal lawsuits. Interview witnesses for civil and criminal lawsuits. Find assets. Historical boat registrations. Aircraft registrations. Search for hidden assets. We can search for some, not all. We can give you business intelligence, intelligence gathering. We can make connections between certain parties. And again, this is all for business. This is a difficult one that I don't really swallow. They say we can locate bank account information. Well, I don't really think so, not without a search warrant and or a subpoena. That one there I'd leave up to attorneys. We can do a number of things that a lot of people need and a lot of people want. But I've got some principles here that a PI should live by. Don't take on clients who are more interested in the mysterious, secretive, shady, working on the edge of the law mystique. In other words, stay away from people who think of the TV shows. Always follow the facts. Don't get hung up with what anybody else think. I don't ask what people think unless I'm interviewing people on a certain case. But if I'm working a case, I want the facts, and that's all I want. It's much easier to tell the truth than to remember all the lies that you tell. So always tell the truth when you're dealing with a case. If you tell me where the information comes from, it's not really any good to me if it's not any good. So I want my information to be correct. Don't make promises that you can't keep. Understand your client's motives and intentions. And that's why it's very important to meet with the client. Put yourself in a position to win. And what I mean by that, if you're working a case for an individual, for a client, and they really, especially an attorney, want to win that case, do everything you can legally so that they can use the information that you get. Follow your ethical and moral and your morals. Be ethical in everything that you do. Don't do anything your children won't be proud of you. That's you don't need your name in the newspaper for being arrested for doing something illegal. But if a private investigator gets arrested, it doesn't take long for that to get around. Believe me. The little things can make the biggest difference, and it's really true. So you want to pay particular attention to all details. Practice what you teach. In other words, I teach a lot of people to do a lot of things in private investigations, and I make sure that I practice what I teach. Stick to your principles. You know, be ethical. I can't say that enough. And I'm going to tell you six things that private investigators won't tell you. Ever wonder what a private investigator might not be telling you? Well, if they tell you we utilize lots of public records, which are easy accessible by you, they won't tell you that, but it's true. You can go online and you can get a lot of the information yourself because it is public information. The problem is it's going to take you a while. So if you decide that you're going to hire an investigator to do that, he should know how to get around the Internet a lot better because that's all we do. Our results are going to be mixed. I don't tell anybody that because I don't feel that my results are mixed. I ask you what you need. I ask you what you're looking for, and I try to deliver what you need for your particular case. The smoking gun, that syndrome. You know, this is not TV. You know, this is real life. So that smoking gun, that's really not there. It doesn't have anything to do with what we're doing. As an investigator in the private sector, we don't have any special powers, so don't think that we do. And again, that goes along with, you know, saying that we can speed, we can do this, we can do that. We can't do any of it. We can't break the law. Thank you. We're not law enforcement. They will never tell you that they have subcontractors to do most of the work. And I won't tell you that because I don't. The only way I have a subcontractor doing the work that I get is because I don't know how to do that particular case. But I will tell you that up front, and most private investigators should tell you that up front. If they don't, then you shouldn't be working with them. That our work is boring. Can you imagine somebody saying that the work as a private investigator is boring? Well, can it be boring? Yes. Can it be tedious? Yes. Do I look through a lot of paperwork? Yes. And that is tedious. Do I spend a lot of time on the Internet? Yes, I do.
I don't see in any way, shape, or form that being a PI is boring. And I know I'm new and I'm a green thumb, but Lord have mercy, there is a lot of work and there's a lot of dedication and there's a lot of checks and balances that you have to have in order to be effective and good at what you do. Boring, that would not be the word I would use. Retentive, that probably would be a word I would use.
You know, it's like anything else. You know, I love this work. I really do because it's a challenge for me. If you don't like what you're doing, then don't, because, you know, you're going to be doing it for an awful long time. And I don't care, you know, whatever you have for a profession. If you don't like it, don't do it. It's not worth it. You know, I love what I'm doing. And I feel that I have the best job going. I really do. I mean, I'm not cold. I'm either in a vehicle or I'm in the office. And I like working on the computer. But there's a lot of people out there who are the wannabes and who give the private investigators a bad name. And these are the guys
In the last 8 minutes, why don't you talk about, give us a synopsis of what you intend for tonight's show, because we're running out of time. But
well, this is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, so.
Anybody who tells you they can get medical records, prescription information, or the results of any type of operation or anything like that, they can't do it. And if you go online and if you look and if you see that somebody is offering that, usually, you know, that's bogus. They're not going to be able to tell you that. And if they say they can, well, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. Not without the proper documents that you need first, which is a subpoena and or a court order. Bank accounts, the same thing. You're not going to get bank accounts. And if they say they can get bank accounts, well, they're doing it illegally. The only way you can get bank accounts is either by that person who owns that account giving you written permission, or by a court subpoena, and that's the only way you're going to get it. And there's a lot of, you can go online and you can look it up and they can tell you, yep, I can get this stuff. A private investigator is not above the law. So don't think they are. And they can't do magic. You know, only thing that we can do is give you what's there. You know, there's a lot of court rulings, like putting GPSs in people's vehicles and stuff, that have come down because of private investigators making mistakes. You can't put a GPS or a locator on a vehicle unless you own that vehicle. If you're going to put one on and you don't own it, you're breaking the law. And so even the police have to get a subpoena to put a GPS on a criminal's vehicle so that they can know where their activities, where they're going. So we can't do it because we're not the police. And unless we have a subpoena to do so by a court, we can't do it. If somebody tells you that they can't tell you where the information is coming from, you don't want anything to do with them. Because wherever they're getting their information, you can't use it anyway. Secret sources always introduce reliability problems into an investigation. If the secret source doing something illegal to obtain the information, then the data is probably more than likely fabricated. And there's been private investigators who have been arrested, and they've also had other people get arrested because they've broken the law by going to an official, mostly law enforcement, and they've coerced that person into getting information for them by the use of the NCIC, which is the National Crime Information Center. And there's so many horror stories about that it's just unbelievable. So if a person tells you that they can get that type of information, if a private investigator tells you that, but I won't be able to divulge where the information is coming from, then more than likely that information that he has was obtained illegally. We don't have informants. The police have informants. We don't have them. If somebody tells me something, I put it down in writing. And I've always covered myself by doing that. I document everything I do, and everything is above board. And most of the private investigators, well, all the private investigators that I know and that I work with do the same thing. They don't put themselves out there in any way, shape, or form that may come back to retaliate against them or to put themselves in a position where they may become under scrutiny by law enforcement or any other official for what they've done or the information they provided. So you want to make sure, again, that everything you do is documented and that you do it ethically and professionally. And that's the big lesson here, right? Don't fall into a fictitional world trap of the hard-drinking private investigator with the dark overcoat, the smoky office, and that bottle of scotch in the drawer, you know, with underworld danger, high-speed chases, and commonplace practices of breaking the law to obtain information. Because if you do, then you as the client are just as liable for anything that happens, just like the private investigator that you hired. So it's so important to make sure you get the right person for what you need. And you want to make sure that that private investigator is above board, he's beyond reproach by anybody, and that he's also confidential to what he is doing for you. I mean, that's important. It's very important. Confidentiality is something that you cannot replace. And you want to make sure that not everybody down the street or your neighbors are going to know that you hired a private investigator to do something. That's your business, not anybody else's. If you want to tell somebody that you hired a PI to do something, that's your business. But if the private investigator wants to go out and run his mouth and tell everybody what he's doing and who he's doing it for, you want to stay away from that individual because he's not reputable.
Well, and that's a question that I would love to have. I think we should have a whole show on how to really divulge whether or not you're a private investigator in social settings. I think that is the show in itself. But you've got about 2 minutes, David, so I just want to make sure that we wrap up and do it right. So,
well,
2 minutes.
We did wrap it up
warning.
Because I did say everything that that should have been said. Just remember that a private investigator is a private citizen, and he can't work miracles. He can't break the law. And if he promises you stuff that just don't seem to be true or it's hard to believe, then stay away from them. You don't need them. You know, there's a saying that, you know, if it's that easy, you know, then I guess anybody could do it. Well, it isn't that easy. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of dedication. And you want to make sure that you grab that individual that's going to work hard for you and is not going to promise you the moon, but it's going to give you factual information that you can use and use correctly. And that's what this is all about.
Well, and I think one thing that has been illustrated over and over again with each and every episode that we do here on Ask a PI is the fact that there is a PI who's ethical and a PI who is unethical. There is a PI who thinks that they're going to be the next, you know, Robert Downey Jr. in some sort of fancy suit, Batman or, you know, X-Man or whatever. And then there's the PI who's actually understanding the real grueling task of what PI work is. And it's not pretty. It's not sexy. It's not hot. It's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of research. It's a lot of footwork. But at the end of the day, when you go to sleep at night, you go to sleep and you sleep well, right?
Yes, you do, because you know that you've done your job and you've done it correctly. And
that's right.
You did, and you've taken care of your client. And that's
right.
The big thing.
And I can tell you, just as originally your customer and now you're a student, you have always taken care of us in respects to being an ethical and awesome PI. So I'm grateful to be able to do this show with you. But we have 60 seconds left, and I want to make sure we get our little jam in at the end. So do you want to say anything close?
Only thing I want to say in closing is that I want to thank everybody, especially our listeners, our loyal listeners. And I'm hoping that this show will grow to so that we can start taking some calls and that people will call in and ask questions. And I'd like to see a show that would just run and be open, like an open mic type of thing, where people will call in, ask questions, we'll answer them, and that will be the entire show.
Well, let's start advertising that. We'll do like the first Monday of the month. But we're down to 10 seconds left, and I just want to say thank you for listening to Ask a PI. David and I are very grateful. And until next Monday, we'll talk to you soon.
Please stay safe out there.
You are listening to Ask a PI Talk Radio with hosts David Duchesneau, author, PI, former Marine, and former New Hampshire State Trooper, and Rusty McDonald, PI, author, motivational speaker, and international radio talk show host.